Hello and welcome to the D&D podcast, Demented Dungeons and Dragons.com, where we talk about everything, including but not limited to Dungeons and Dragons. I'm a little early, like 3 minutes early. David Ray and maybe one or two other callers might be calling in tonight. We will see. I'm still driving. I got another 37 miles to go down the road. And, So, it is almost fall. Come fall, we're changing our podcast time to 7 o'clock. Basically, when the clock falls back 1 hour, we basically don't really change our time. So we don't really do daylight savings time. But, you know, basically, our podcast stays the same time year-round. Saturday night, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. But when everybody else changes their clocks to Central Daylight Time, well, basically 7 o'clock Central Standard Time would be 8 o'clock Central Daylight Time. So there you go. Bow, bow, bow. Demented Dungeons and Dragons, the mentally challenged podcast. Why? The only place that I see round billboards is when I get close to Springfield or not Bolivar, Branson. On I-44 right now, and I'll be coming up on Springfield here in a little bit. I'll be coming around the mountain when I come, not really a mountain, I'll be coming around the hill when I come, I'll be coming around. Hello and welcome to the D&D podcast, Demented Dungeons and Dragons.com. Where we podcast. Talk about everything, including but not limited to Dungeons and Dragons.
There's a podcast tonight?
What's a podcast?
What podcast?
This is the podcast for the mentally challenged.
Oh, very good. Yeah, Joe almost did it to me again. He's like, hey, come over. Let's watch some movies, and I'll feed you. And what? It's Saturday? So? Podcast night.
Yep.
I think he knows. I think he does it on purpose.
Yep. Because it's the only time he calls. Well, not the only time, but primarily the only time.
Pretty much. Pretty much. If you got another agenda, he calls. Tries to distract you. He's the devil.
Do what?
He's the devil. He tries to lead you astray.
Yeah, I'm a firm believer that he likes to disrupt.
Oh.
He's a disruptor.
He's a disruptor. So, I'm watching the most recent remake of Ghost in the Shell.
Remake of what?
Ghost in the Shell.
Oh.
I saw the cartoon... I've seen the cartoon series before, which is very good. but this one's using actors and high-level special effects graphics. So,
right.
So basically, it's an animation with real faces in it. So.
Real live animation.
Yeah, something like that. So. One of the lines in it, kind of important.
So I don't have time to watch movies. I'm too busy trying to be productive. I got all of these movies to watch. I just don't watch them because I'm too busy being productive.
Yeah, watch them while you're driving down the road.
I should.
You should not. Anyway. I'm sure that's exactly how you'll be playing Red Towers.
No, I deleted it.
What?
I deleted it.
Did you?
I lowered my rating. I gave him a 5-star rating in the beginning, even though it was brand new and still clunky. I lowered it to a 3-star rating.
Yeah.
I can't play the game. It doesn't work.
Yeah, well, the latest upgrade seems to be working smoothly enough, but I can't do it on the Galaxy 3.
I can't do it on the LG. I can't do it on the Galaxy. I don't know if a person could play it on their PC or not. I tried to, install the app on my computer, but it won't work, you know, because Windows, like, 10 has app features. So I thought, maybe I can install it as an app on my computer and play it on the computer. Nope.
Yep. Well. Yeah. Well, anyway, this movie, Ghost in the Shell, one of the lines she was told by one of her quote-unquote makers is, no, it wasn't her maker. It was her enemy, actually. The guy who's going around and killing scientists in the corporation that she's built in. He tells her, you know, they made the shell. They may own your body because, you know, it's basically a robotic body. But the ghost, the soul inside, that's yours. That belongs to you. You know, not theirs. You know, basically, they took a little girl's brain and stuck it inside a robot. You know. And apparently, they'd done the same thing to him, but he wasn't really a model, and he was full of glitches, and they weren't able to control him. And they were supposed to terminate him, but he escaped.
So he's the older model.
He's the older model, and he talks funny because he's got glitches, and you know he knows something's missing. They knew they took away something from him, and so he's learned how to create his own network, and he's hacking into theirs and literally hacking the minds of the scientists who helped create him in an attempt to find out what they took away from him.
His parents. Yeah.
Well, they took his life away from him, is what they did.
Well, true.
All right, and they erased some of his memories because they were inconvenient, you know. So, even her, they gave her a BS story about her past. Supposedly she was a refugee. The terrorists attacked the little boat that she was on, and she was so damaged that the only thing they were able to save was her brain. You know? So there she is, a brain inside a robot.
A brain-dead robot.
Yeah, almost. Anyway. So that kind of brings up the question, you know. How do you know your orange juice is real?
Because they told me it's real.
Yeah, and it says Florida on the package. So you know that Florida would throw a fit if your orange juice wasn't real. And, you know, and then you asked me the silly question of, well, what about these other juices?
Yeah, what about those other juices?
Yeah, I have no idea who's protecting the cherry juice, the apple juice, you know. So I just have to have faith that they're actually, you know, labeling it correctly. And then lately I've been picking up labels that say 100% juice. And, you know, and you turn on the site, it says 100% juice. And you start reading the ingredients. And, you know, 100% grape juice might be grape juice and a little bit of apple juice. And sometimes they even mix a little cranberry into the grape juice. You know, whatever. All right, but I'm starting to notice that some of these juices, they also have sodium bicalcium, whatever, you know, in them. Or, I don't know, I'd have to have the label in front of me in order to tell you what's in it. But, I mean, it's like, it's 100% juice, then what's this? That's not a juice.
It's not a juice.
All right, so is it less than, like, a tenth of a percent of the ingredients, and therefore you can round up to 100% and say it's 100% juice?
You know, it's 135% juice.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, how much of this stuff did you put in? You know, it's not 100% juice anymore when you add something other than juice to it. I mean, I can understand, okay, yeah, they're adding water to concentrate, okay? So there's a little bit of fuzzy room in there because, you know, how much water do you add to it and it's still juice, right?
And what kind of crap do you add to the water that you're adding to the juice?
Well, that's true, too. I mean, there's all sorts of things they can call water. And, you know, if you tap a water source that has fluoride in it and chlorine in it, then your juice is going to have those things also, you know.
Right, like high fructose corn syrup water.
That'd be interesting for them to make an excuse on. But you're right. They could do that. All right. But, I mean, this goes, you know, that same question goes on a social level and everything. Because, you know, you go to the supermarket and you have to have a little bit of faith that the food is what they say it is. You know? And it's getting to the point where
you can't
trust them. I mean, I got to do a little research. All right, you know they sell Hawaiian salt. Hawaiian salt's black. Yeah, Hawaiian salt's black. All right? But,
like the volcano.
Well, I was reading the labels.
Volcanic ash salt.
I'm reading the label on Hawaiian salt. And the particular one that I picked up to read the label on didn't come from Hawaii in the first place. It was basically Morton salt, sodium chloride with no minerals in it, with charcoal added.
Nice.
Didn't even come from Hawaii, but it was Hawaiian salt.
Nice.
Okay. So, what is Hawaiian salt? Why did they get away with doing that? Why would you want, I mean, charcoal salt probably is pretty good for you. I'd like my charcoal salt to use sea salt, you know, to have Morton salt. And I don't know if they use Morton salt, but they use sodium chloride, which is Salt is really the all the other minerals.
It's rock salt.
That'd actually be good for you.
True.
Grind it up nicely. You know, granted, you're going to get little bits of granite every once in a while, but, you know, hey, won't hurt you.
Yeah, it's good for your colon.
It'll pass through like everything else, you know.
Yeah, clean your colon.
Maybe. But, you know, it'll never get absorbed, and so it'll just pass on through.
Hopefully it passes through the right path.
Well, it can't get absorbed through the cell, through the intestinal wall, so it'll make it to the rectum. You know, that's how that system works. You know, you swallow a marble, the marble will go all the way through. You know, no matter how small the marble is, because silicon dioxide just does not get absorbed into the bloodstream unless it's, you know, bound up organically. We don't generally absorb minerals well. So, but yeah, I'm you know, like that's a food level thing. You know, and you can kind of know what you're getting into by reading the labels, assuming that your government is properly labeled. You know?
Right.
You know, and I was listening to one gentleman that, you know, he was pointing out, you know, people have this disconnect about government. It's like, oh, yeah, well, this party's bad. You should only vote for my party because my party's good. Right? And, you know, and the people who vote against you are saying the same thing. And
yeah,
you
but
know,
is your party part of the de facto or the de jure government?
And quite frankly, I'm not sure I care which one it's in. It's both. Both are an illusion.
True.
You know, Are you, that brings up another person, but anyway, what he was pointing out is, really, government was made by megalomaniacs in the first place. So, you know, you get a good-hearted person who figures, hey, if I get to office, I can start straightening things out, right? Well, that person's not a megalomaniac, all right? He's not, what's the word for it when somebody has no emotions when they do a crime?
Sociopath?
Yeah, he's not a sociopath, all right? So he's working with a bunch of sociopaths who have absolutely no compunction against saying, oh, yeah, we got to do this for the good of the people. Yeah. Yeah, let me just pat you on the back for such a good idea. Oh, the knife in my hand that I'm patting you on the back with? I'm
the
sorry.
Knife
it was there.
In the back
oh, you're bleeding and dying out on the floor. Well, I guess we'll have to continue on without you.
Right.
You know, anyway, so this guy points out that government, as we know it, was made by megalomaniacs to be filled by megalomaniacs, sociopaths, because it's their concept and their idea to rule everybody. You know, and so, you know, if you just take up one of their offices, they won't get anything done because the rest of them will continue on. You know, they'll work around you. You know, they'll have their little secret meeting that you're not involved in. And so when you show up for the meeting to do the vote, it's like, oh, we're sorry, we rescheduled. That vote happened 10 minutes ago.
Right.
You were late.
Didn't you get the memo?
And then your phone goes, ding. Oh, there it is. Now you got the memo. No excuses.
Right.
Anyway, so yeah. You go to the grocery store and you expect those labels to be accurate and correct and whatever. But even so, people don't read them and they don't, reject ingredients like high fructose corn syrup and monosodium diglyceride, sulfide, Yeah, I'm just making things up, but, that stuff's in your food. And you'll never see labeled on the bread that the wheat that was used to make the flour had Roundup sprayed all over it just before harvest to force the wheat berries to all ripen at the same time.
Right.
That just will not ever be on the label. So,
One, two, Roundup. Three, four.
Yeah. So you'll never know that there's Roundup in every loaf of bread you buy.
Every loaf of Roundup bread.
Every one of those Pop-Tarts has Roundup in it because they use wheat flour for those darn things. Not that you should be eating Pop-Tarts in the first place, but, sugar. So, did I just lose you? I think I just lost you. All right, hopefully he'll be calling back in. But, so you expect your food to be labeled properly. You went to school, and they put the labeling on your government when you went to public school. Ah, I think he's back. Hello? Okay. So as I was telling the listeners, it's like, you expect your labels on your food to be correct. When you go to public school, that's when they put the label on your government, all right? So, we're aware that there's things in your food that they just will not put on the label because, quite frankly, they don't have to. They don't have to tell you what was done to the wheat before you received it, all right?
Roundup bread.
Yeah, and people don't ask questions about, why are they adding all these vitamin Bs to the bread? Oh, because when you grind up the flour 6 months earlier than you make the bread, all the vitamin B evaporates into the air. It gets oxidized. It doesn't really evaporate, but, it gets oxidized. And it's no longer vitamin B. And so they have to add these vitamin Bs to it, or women who are pregnant and eat Wonder Bread will not get enough vitamin B for their babies that are in their womb, and they'll have birth defects. And so they add all these vitamin Bs to the, folic acid and things like that because that's essential for baby growth. But if you were making your... Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, the Roundup, I'm sure, helps, too. But, if you were to make your own bread at home,
that's
go through
work.
Trouble sprouting the grains and stuff like that. Well, yeah, it's a lot of work, but you know what? Don't work as much for somebody else. Maybe you only work 4 hours a day for instead of 8 hours. And I'm saying this to my co-host. He's driving 7 days a week, 3 weeks in a row.
14 hours a day.
Yeah, so.
To raise money for the farm.
Raise money for the farm. So. Yeah, I'm out there too trying to earn money, and so I'm not getting a whole lot done on the farm. Tomorrow I will, though. Joe's going to come get me sometime tomorrow. He's talking noonish, so I will probably continue mending those. Your mom gave us those dog panels, and they need a lot of repair, and so I'm busily repairing those, and then I'm going to put them up and form fences between, our first chicken coop, I'm going to use it as a shed, all right? And I'm going to extend from that. Go ahead.
A cat house.
Cat house will work. You know, shed slash cat house, because they go up and they eat, you know, up above. All right.
And have their babies.
And yes, one of them had their babies there. Anyway, and then I'll extend those two dog panel. It's got four panels to it. I'll extend those panels over to where I'm going to start building the next building, which I'm going to pull together with string and ribbon. And hopefully sometime you'll show up with a drill, and we can use it to screw the parts together to make it more solid.
You ain't gonna buy a DeWalt?
Say what?
I thought you had a DeWalt.
Me?
Yeah, it's all DeWalt there at the land.
Did you?
Yeah, like two of them. DeWalt power tool.
I'll have to look around for that. I don't recall seeing that.
It's right by the garden where the sweet potatoes are.
DeWalt?
Empty boxes.
Oh, well, that's somebody else's DeWalt.
Oh, okay.
I got the cardboard. I'm always getting the cardboard. Yeah, that's something.
Electricity so that we can charge the power tools.
Yeah, I'm digging around. I'm trying to figure out which box we put the charge controller in. So I thought it was in the kitchen, but apparently it got moved to the box truck.
Yep.
So I got to go through all those boxes until I find it. And I'm thinking it really needs to be installed in the kitchen, but I don't know if I have enough wire to go from there to the box truck's battery.
Well, we need to put a battery bank underneath the seat in the kitchen.
Yeah. Actually, we need to build a little box or buy one of those plastic boxes, an outdoor storage container, and put our bank of batteries outside where we can check them on a regular basis. But if Lord forbid, one of them blows up and sparks and ignites the hydrogen gas that they produce, the fire will be outside.
Put it in the cow.
Yes, that will be in full sun. That would be in full sun. So that's the good idea. We can even put that up at waist height, so we can check the batteries easily without bending over and looking down. You know, so we can stick our little probe inside there and see what the specific gravity of the battery fluid is. So, which is something you're supposed to do. I think you're supposed to do that about once a week. You know, most people build their systems and it's like built and forget it. And then they wonder why the batteries go bad.
Oh, there's a parking spot.
So.
Yeah, if somebody doesn't take it. I thought for sure there would be parking here this day and time of night. But I was wrong. I should have stopped at the last truck stop.
Yeah, Anyway.
Somebody taking that spot? Looks like they're going to try.
Well, you know, yeah, I could mount the panels up on the roof of the cat house, no problem. Yep, just create a hinge system where the pallets can be raised and lowered according to what season it is. And have them charge the batteries. And then later when I build the next building, it won't be too far away. We could put another series of solar panels right up on top of it. So
what? The last parking spot needs two guys both want it. So do I. Ding darn dilly.
And then when the county comes around and they want to know how many square feet our buildings are so they can tax us more, and it's like, well, these are chicken coops. You know, it's like, well, I don't see any chickens. Well, duh, because the raccoons ate them all. Every time we get chickens, the raccoons eat it.
Chicken coop battery box.
Yep, that sounds good. But we still need to cover them up because we need to make sure the chickens don't poop on the batteries. They'll have to have a lid that you can flip open. And, of course, we'll have to put muffin fans on them so that they, so whenever they're charging, they have air circulating around them.
Air circulation.
Yeah, it's not enough to depend on the hydrogen being lighter than air for it to float away. You have to actually blow it away.
Because
it still actually build up in the enclosed spaces, and all it takes is one spark to light it off.
Boom, shaka.
Yep. And so, yeah, you put your battery banks in a box outside with vents and a muffin pan.
Muffin pan.
Yep. So, yeah, you just set them up at any time the solar panels are charging the batteries or the wind generator or anything is charging the battery, the fan runs. When the batteries aren't being charged, it's no big trouble. They don't, you know. It's only when they're charging that they boil the water and produce hydrogen and oxygen. So.
Monoxygen.
Yeah. Anyway, you distracted me, all right? So like there's this, you know, labeling on food. Well, when you go to public school or you hear from your neighbors or you watch TV, they're putting a label on your government. Now, it's subtle because, you know, it's not like it's printed like it's on the side of your food, right? So that label on the food is really only about as honest as the governing body that forced the labeling in the first place, right? And that force is kind of an important key word because, well, let's put it this way. If somebody's forcing you to do something, don't you tend to cut corners and try to get away with whatever you can? Ah, my co-host disappeared again. So I'll repeat that question when he comes back, which he's going to do any second now. Come on. Come on. Well, all right. So, I mean, you know, if you're being forced to do something and you're not really being compensated for it. You're just, you know, it's just you're forced to do it, and it doesn't benefit you directly to do that thing. You know, you tend to kind of skirt around it and not do it. All right? You know? But that changes if you're, like, self-governed, right? And you're the one that's forcing you to do this, that, or the other. You know, if you realize that actually we're a whole brotherhood of man, and those fellows out there who, I hear voices. You still there, Kano? Huh, that's weird. Anyway, thought I heard a voice. Maybe that's our third-party co-host that was supposed to call in tonight. If he's there, please speak up. Anyway, so, you know, if you're like self-governed and you realize that, you know, you have a duty to the universe to care for your fellow man and for, you know, creating a good, wholesome environment for health, mind, and soul. And there he is. He's back. All right, Kano, let me ask you the question. All right. So if you're forced to do something by your parents or your teacher or whatever, don't you have a tendency to cut corners when you're being forced to do it?
I think crooked people do crooked things whether they're forced to do them or not.
Well, yeah. But I think even honest people have a tendency to cut corners on things that they're forced to do, you know. But if they're doing it not because they're forced, but because they realize that there's a moral imperative to do a certain thing, that changes the whole formula.
Formula.
So, you know, these food labels, we're talking about, well, you know, they're not going to put this and they're not going to put that on the label because they're not required to. You know, they don't even know for sure that Monsanto Roundup was used on the grain that they received. All right? But you can rest assured it probably was. You know? All right, so the same thing goes for the labeling that they give you on TV and in public school. And just talking back and forth with your neighbors and fellow man in public, the labeling that we put on our government, right? Well, you know, that's about as honest as, you know, that labeling is about as honest as the very product that it's describing. And if the product it's describing isn't very honest, then the labeling is really not going to match very much with the product. You know, I heard something about shrimp in China. In order to make the shrimp look plumper, they were injecting them with silicone and selling them on the market. You know? So, you know, this fisherman's shrimp looks better because it's got silicone in it. But you get home and you cook it, and there's this piece of hard rubber right down the middle of your shrimp. You might not buy from that fisherman ever again. You know? So your product is as honest, you know, the labeling on your product is about as honest as the product itself. And that includes your government. You know, and that, and your religion. And, you know, just about everything else. So, oh, and that reminds me, Kano's got a kick on government, on religion that he's been sending me on a quest. He's looking for the Egyptian Book of the Dead.
Book of the Dead.
And that's another one. Well, one, first off, Book of the Dead is I think that's Mr. Budge's labeling for it because it was so sensational to call it that. All right. And it's not really the Book of the Dead. It's They're instructions for the afterlife.
Afterlife.
Yeah. And that's... It's interesting looking at that, too. Because supposedly some of the Ten Commandments came from a list of... I see gods they said you had to go before, but it was a couple of dozen. And you go before each one of these gods, and each one is in charge of a particular human failing. And it's like, so you go to the first one, and it's like, I never lied when I sold things. You know, I never sold faulty products. Right? And they literally have a god for that. And then you get to the next one, and in order to pass that one, you have to deny that you ever slept with your neighbor's wife.
My neighbor's wife.
Yeah, you know. All right, and you just go down the line, and it's like...
I slept with my neighbor's ex-wife.
There you go. All right, but that wasn't your neighbor's wife. All right?
Oh.
In that sense. Anyway, so you go down the line, and there's like these, you know, 20 some odd sins that you go God by God by God, and you deny that you ever did them. Well, some of the Ten Commandments look like they were pulled out of that list. You know, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not, you know. Now, some of them you can't find in the, you know, Egyptian Book of the Dead, you know, like, thou shalt not have any other god before thee, right? That's not in the Egyptian Book of the Dead. You won't find that.
Right, because they believe in polytheism.
Well, they believed in the whole series of gods.
I believe polytheism.
Yeah, if there's more than one god, then the gods are insane and should not be obeyed. So,
most of them.
Well, you know,
whoops.
You know, God. For God to be all-knowing, all-loving, and all-powerful, he pretty much has to be of one mind. And if he's of one mind, then he's only one entity. And, you know...
Then he cannot be the Trinity.
That's true. He can't be the Trinity. Which, you know, people who claim to be Christians and claim to be following Christ, and yet they hang on to this Trinity thing,
which is polytheism.
They aren't listening to what Christ and what God said very well when they read their books. Christ said that he was a man, you know. When he was brought for trial, you know, you see here before you a man, you know. Why do you make these accusations, you know? And
my God is an awesome man, he is Jesus Christ.
And you search through the Old Testament and you find that in the first five books, there's a verse where God says, I think it's in the first five, it might have been in Job actually, you know, but God basically says, you know, basically, I'm paraphrasing greatly, but, you know, he's basically saying, what do you think of me? You think that I'm like a man, that I might have faulty reasoning? You know, and God is not a man. he states it rather implicitly. God is not a man. So when Christ said that he was a man, he very clearly stated he was not God.
That's blasphemy.
You know? And then they break out I think it's John 1:1, and they say, and the Word was in the beginning and with God, and the God, you know, get made flesh, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Now, would it be blasphemy for God to say that he's not God?
That would be a schizophrenic God, to be sure. And that's handled by the Buddhists. The Buddhists, as I understand it, the ones that are really deep into Buddhism, do not deny that there's a God or gods or whatever, but they don't really care.
I don't give a dang darn diddly if you're a God or not. I'm going to do what is right because it is right.
That's pretty much the Buddhist attitude. You're going to do what's right because it's right. I'm going to do what's right when it's right because it's right. Which is pretty much what our friend put in his books, you know, in his law books. All right? Ray Hall. All right? But yeah, as I understand it, that's pretty much, you know, not every Buddhist will talk that way. But the ones who are really into it and they've been studying, they're Buddhist monks and they've been monks for a long time. They'll pretty much put it that way. You know, it's like you do what's right because it's right and it doesn't matter whether there's a God or not. The universe exists. We exist. And there's a whole lot of good that can be done. So let's do it.
And get it done. Get her done, done, done. Get her done, 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 done.
Eschew evil and do good. All right? You know? So, anyway. So, would it be blasphemy for God to say that he was not God? Yes. Yes, it would be blasphemy for God to say he was not God. And such a God should be looked at very carefully and possibly avoided.
There you go. Avoid.
Yeah, you know. So, you know, avoid lying gods.
Jesus is a liar.
Well, I won't go that far, but if Jesus claimed to be God at any point, and then he claimed to be man, also, he's got a bit of a contradiction with the Old Testament.
No, I'm just kidding.
So,
but a lot of people say that Jesus is God, so.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I've run across people who don't believe in the Trinity, and yet they say that also. And it's like, is your head on right? Don't you see the contradiction in your thinking? You know, you don't believe in the Trinity, but you believe Jesus is God.
Jesus is a God, but not the God.
Yeah. Which, you know, yeah, that's a problem too. Yeah, that means that you've got two gods and one god might win out over the other. And if that was to happen, then, you know, there's chaos in the universe as a result.
Well, that's where Satan came from.
Possibly. I don't know.
I mean, Satan is a god.
Anyway.
He tried to rule over the god. Therefore, we have chaos, according to Christian philosophy.
Well, apparently, according to Egyptian philosophy, first there was chaos. There was basically this uncreated reality out there. They had no rules, no logic, no form. And then there was Horus.
The sun god.
Or Osiris or whatever. And he brought order to he created this little island of order called Earth.
Island of order. And we jacked it up.
And drove out the chaos. And so the reason why they got all those spells in the Egyptian Book of the Dead is mostly to drive off the monsters that come up and out of chaos. You know, apparently there's certain monsters that just reoccur naturally. And so you cast a spell, and the spell is basically supposed to be some logical thought that makes it impossible for the entity to even exist, and so it's banished from your presence when you use that spell. And so you're bringing, you know, after you die, by bringing the Book of the Dead with you and using it as you go, you're actually creating a little bit more logical universe and increasing the size of the island of creation in the chaotic universe. You know, so you're spreading logic and reason and causing the chaos to fall away.
Now, when I asked, you know, what was the original religion or whatever, I didn't actually mean like religion, but, you know, not religion as we know it, I guess. But, you know, like I hear people talk about the ancient Mesopotamian or something like that.
Well, yeah, the Anunnaki. But
they were before the Egyptians, no?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Egyptian is the first, quote-unquote, Western religion that was documented. But that documentary you sent me, it clearly points out that that religion had existed for at least 1,000 years before they started documenting it.
Right, kind of like Christianity existed for hundreds of years before they started documenting it.
No, about 50 years before they started documenting.
Or maybe, yeah, not hundreds, 50, because they didn't live to be that long anymore.
But even then they did generate lots and lots of documents. By the 3rd century, Christianity had so many books and texts and letters and manuscripts, and there were, you know, exchanging them and trading them with each other and, you know, thought they were important. And as far as I can, Christ quoted from the Book of Enoch in Scripture. So we know because of his quotes that the Book of Enoch that we have today existed before some Frenchman came and translated it into French and then later English. All right?
And excluded it from the Bible.
Well, it's always been excluded. Even back in, you know, Jesus' time, it was excluded from the Bible. But it was being passed around. But Jesus quoted it and called it Scripture.
Right.
You know? And, you know, there's all these quotes that Jesus made that we can't find in the Old Testament. Well, where did he get them from? Well, gee, they match up with the Book of Enoch. I guess he must have grabbed it from that. And I got to be honest, the Book of Enoch's kind of flaky.
So, what does that mean? What does that say about Jesus?
Well, you know, there is wisdom to be gotten from the book, but, you know, it talks about the earth being flat and all the metals being gathered up in various mountains, you know. So,
uh-oh. He said the earth was flat.
You know, if you know, well, I don't know that Jesus said the earth was flat, but he read the Book of Enoch, and the Book of Enoch says the earth is flat. You know,
Jesus, Enoch, the Book of Enoch was Scripture, which means the earth is flat.
Well, he quoted from it as if, you know, doesn't. Isn't it, well, I don't know that he said it's Scripture, but he said something along the lines of, isn't it written that blah, 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 and he quoted out of the Book of Enoch.
Well, probably because they looked at it as scripture back then.
Yeah, I'll have to go back and see exactly what he said, but you know, I could very validly, I could walk into a courtroom and deny all their laws, but I could still quote them back at them. Like, well, isn't it written in your laws that blah, 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 blah is the case? And yet you have me here in violation of that.
True.
You're violating your own laws in order to force me here to pay tribute to you.
You must pay tribute to Uncle Sam, the Almighty God.
You know, so you're hypocrites and liars and thieves. You know, and the only reason anybody doesn't speak up to you is because, you know, you got guns. Which is funny because we have guns too, but we haven't used them on you.
We're afraid to use them.
Yeah, well, yeah. So
we're a bunch of pansies.
Because we believe the labeling put on our government.
We read
the label and we say, oh, good. It says it's wonderful and wholesome and it's good for wisdom to obey these megalomaniacs. All right, I'm happy. That's all right on the labeling. We're free because we put these chains on and bind ourselves up under these megalomaniacs' rule.
So we're free because the government says so.
Yeah! Idiots.
Pansies.
All right. Hey, that's almost an hour. Let's hear from Ron Paul.
Let's see what Ron Paul has to say on the matter.
I don't know if he even spoke on the matter, but let's see what he has to say.
Let's see what he has to say about his matter.
There we go.
Revolution.
Oh, yeah, I want to see what it says about the Russians being kicked out of the U.S. and the U.S. kicked out of Russia.
I think he talked about that last week.
What was it?
I don't know. Okay, here we go.
Monday, September 4th. Texans affected by Hurricane Harvey, including my family and me, appreciate the outpouring of support from across the country. President Donald Trump has even pledged to donate $1 million to relief efforts. These private donations will be much more valuable than the as much as $100 billion the federal government is expected to spend on relief and recovery. Federal disaster assistance hinders effective recovery efforts, while federal insurance subsidizes increased the damages caused by natural disasters. Federal disaster aid has existed since the early years of the Republic. In fact, it was a payment to disaster victims that inspired Davy Crockett's Not Yours to Give speech. However, the early federal role was largely limited to sending checks. The federal government did not become involved in managing disaster relief and recovery until the 20th century. America did not even have a federal agency dedicated solely to disaster relief until 1979, when President Jimmy Carter created the Federal Emergency Management Agency by executive order. Yet Americans somehow managed to rebuild after natural disasters before 1979. For example, the people of Galveston, Texas, successfully rebuilt the city following a major hurricane that destroyed the city in 1900. FEMA's well-documented inefficiencies are the inevitable result of centralizing control over something as complex as disaster recovery in a federal bureaucracy. When I served in Congress, I was voted against federal disaster aid from my district. After the votes, I would hear from angry constituents, many of whom would later tell me that after dealing with FEMA, they agreed that Texas would be better off without federal help. Following natural disasters, individuals who attempt to return to their own property, much less try to repair the damage without government permission, can be arrested and thrown in jail. federal, state, and local officials often hinder or even stop voluntary rescue and relief efforts. FEMA is not the only counterprotective disaster assistance program. The National Flood Insurance Program was created to provide government-backed insurance for properties that could not obtain private insurance on their own. By overruling the market's verdict that these properties should not be insured, federal flood insurance encourages construction in flood-prone areas, thus increasing the damage caused by flooding. Just as payroll taxes are unable to fully fund Social Security and Medicare, flood insurance are unable to fund the cost of flood insurance. Federal flood insurance was almost $25 billion in the red before Hurricane Harvey. Congress will no doubt appropriate funding to pay all flood insurance claims, thus increasing the national debt. This, in turn, will cause the Federal Reserve to print more money to monetize that debt, thus hastening the arrival of the fiscal hurricane that will devastate the U.S. economy. Yet there is little talk of offsetting any of the costs of hurricane relief with spending cuts. Congress should start phasing out the federal flood insurance program by forbidding the issuance of new flood insurance policies. It should also begin reducing federal spending on disaster assistance. Instead, costs associated with disaster recovery should be made 100% deductible. Those who suffered the worst should be completely exempted from all federal tax liability for at least 2 years. Tax-free savings accounts could also help individuals save money to help them bear the cost of a natural.
To repeat the announcement, press 1. To repeat the announcement, press 1. To repeat the announcement, press 1.
Well, then.
Yeah.
I tried pressing 1. You must let us help you or suffer the consequences.
Right. Yeah, just leave me the fuck alone. I don't want your consequences. I don't
or
want
your
the consequences
help.
Of your help.
That too. Yeah, it's like if you refuse their help and do what's right when it's right because it's right without their help, they will penalize you and punish you.
Oh yeah, plenty of people have gone to jail for feeding the homeless. People have gone to jail. Now, it doesn't happen in every state and every city, but it does happen. You set up a benefit program that's not state approved, and they come after you. So, when we finally get around to setting up our community exchange system, they'll probably come after us.
Oh, yeah.
And honestly, I think the best way to do it is with our community exchange thrift. People come in, and we give them so many credits for whatever they turn in. And they can turn around and use those credits to purchase items in the thrift. And if they don't want to sign up on the computer network, well, then I guess I'll have to maintain a paperwork list of what everybody has, and they'll only be able to use it at the thrift. But for those who sign up, they'll be able to work with each other directly.
Directly! Ooh, yeah.
I'll have to explain to them, if I'm going to do this paperwork-wise, it's a lot more work for me, I'm going to have to take a percentage. But if you do it on the computer, and I can understand why you wouldn't want to, because, it makes your stuff public. It does. It makes your business public if you do it on the computer.
Paper trail.
It's more efficient, and you'll be able to exchange with each other directly instead of coming through me. You won't need a broker. You can be your own broker.
There you go.
You know? Anyway. But, yeah, they'll probably come after me.
You are breaking the law.
Oh, taxes on all the stuff you have in your store. And it's like,
it doesn't have any value in Federal Reserve notes. There wasn't any Federal Reserve notes spent on any of this. We don't sell it for Federal Reserve notes. Which would be more true because, you know, if somebody came in and they just insisted they didn't want to be on the network and they just offered Federal Reserve notes instead of CES, well, okay, fine. You know, we'll use the Federal Reserve note to build up infrastructure or whatever. We'll buy paper for the printer and ink for the printer so we can print up more flyers to encourage people to come to our thrift.
Thrift.
Yep. Not a thrift store, a thrift exchange.
We are not a business.
Not a business.
We do not conduct business here.
Yep. We are a charitable organization. Here for the public good. Privately run charitable organization.
Oh, but you're not a 501c3.
Good. Because this is a religious activity and we're exempt from all that stuff in the first place. We don't need to be 501c3 to achieve it. We operate under God's law. We're not asking for tax deductions to do this. Anyway, if you could text me how to do the thing that I texted you a question about, I might pass that on to somebody else.
Question?
Yeah, I texted you.
No.
And you can repeat it on air because, you know, our listeners might want to know how to do that, too.
Oh.
But if you text it to me, then I'll be able to pass it on as a text to somebody else.
They dial the same number we dial, but they just don't dial that final four-digit code.
Four-digit code? Do you think it's wise to let them know it's four-digit?
Well, it's not actually a four-digit code. It's like a four-digit code plus another code.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the ticket. Because, you know, I could, well, okay, I'd have to dial over and over again. But I could set up a relatively small Excel sheet that could all 10,000 codes possible and dial them all one at a time. So one of them worked. And have the Excel sheet do the dialing. It really wouldn't take too long.
I don't think anybody really cares about our podcast that much in order to do that. Maybe when we got famous, which will probably not.
True, but we did just give somebody who listens to our podcast enough information that if there was another podcast out there that they wanted to hack, they now have.
Quit giving people ideas.
Oh, come on.
Shit. I mean, you're just telling them how and what to do. You're giving them the idea to do it. Come on. What the hell?
Isn't that what the podcast is for?
And you wonder why there's so much evil.
Hey, people.
You're tempting them.
When you grab the can of Lysol, it says, don't throw in fire. You now know how to make your own hand grenade.
Right. And it's not a four-digit code. It's actually technically a six-digit code.
considerary device. Whatever.
So anyways. Callers call in by calling the same number we call, which is 515-604-9926. Once again, that's 515-604-9926. And then you dial the extension, which is 128-374. Again, that's 128-374. Now, if you want to have that pre-programmed in your phone, put 515-604-9926, comma, 128-374, and it'll get you in. Unless you have a dumb phone, then it's, instead of commas, you want the letter P.
Yeah, but it depends on what your phone requires for.
Yeah.
All right.
The letter P twice. PP.
Yeah.
PP. PP.
Yeah, basically Ron Paul's message. It was a little bit of a surprise. I figured he'd be talking about the Russia thing. I guess that was last week.
It was last week. Oh, and if you need to the phone number again in the future and you don't want to listen to this podcast, first hour of it, to find out what the phone number is, just go to DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com. The phone number's right there at the top of the webpage.
All right.
DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com. And in the future, the number might change because we had a number before, but T-Mobile was charging me to call my own podcast with that
right.
number. Well, with this number, they're not charging me yet. And that might have hindered our callers calling in if their phone company was charging them to call. Well, this company, this number, I'm not being charged to call. So we might actually get some callers for a change.
Yep.
I thought maybe we might have one or two callers tonight, but I guess not. Nobody loves us. So tomorrow morning I go look at my future potential truck. If I decide to buy one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this company, I tell you what, every time I turn around they change their minds. Oh, we're going to do something different. Oh, we're going to do this. Oh, we're going to do that. And then they say, well, not they, one guy who's a pain in my butt now, says, oh, well, we told you that from the get-go. Bull crap, you told me that from the get-go. You just changed your mind. You said another thing last week, and now you're saying this instead.
Oh, God. I worked in the post office. The supervisors were so bad with the instructions they gave me, contradicting each other, contradicting themselves. I started keeping a notepad of all of the infractions against our contract that they were doing, including their multitude of wrong, you know, multitude of contradictory instructions.
Nice.
If ever I work for somebody I have to do that to again, I'm just going to say, you know what? This isn't working. Goodbye.
Hasta la vista, bitchy.
Pay me what you owe me and then leave me alone.
Leave me alone. I'm out of here. You're fraudulent. Oh, something or other. I forgot what I was going to say.
Yeah, something along that line.
You're breaking your own rules.
You're hypocrites.
Hypocrisy. Kind of like a lot of religions.
Well, yeah, that's something else that came out in that documentary, that the Book of the Dead thing, while it did document Egyptian belief, the reason why they're all different is in order to have an Egyptian the Book of the Dead, unless you were the pharaoh, you had to pay for it, right? And what you could afford determined how much got put into it. And so apparently the scribe for the pharaoh was such a believer that he had practically everything put into it. It cost him a fortune. Right? And his was probably as long as Pharaoh's himself. And, you know, he had it all put in there.
So you do get to take it with you.
Barely. I don't know how we got a copy of the scroll, though, if he took it with him, but we got a copy now. Anyway. So, yeah, I'm going to have to watch the documentary again, because there was another author who translated it, and he took the one that A. E. Budge took out of Egypt, and he took when Budge took it out of Egypt, the first thing he did when he got back to Britain, to the museum, is he took the scroll and he cut it up into sections and put them on wooden boards.
Interesting.
Took this beautiful document and he cut it up. It was easy for him to handle. He couldn't mount it on a 75-foot long wall. He had to cut it up into little foot and a half and mount them on boards.
That's blasphemy.
Yeah, that's my thought. That's, you know, well, I mean, if I got a book and the book's falling apart, okay, fine. I will, I'll, you know, photocopy or scan the pages or something, you know. But cutting it up on purpose, I better have a second copy someplace. You know?
Second copy someplace.
And if I don't have a second copy, why not make a second copy and then break that up?
Break, 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 break.
I don't know. The world...
I don't know what I've been told.
The world is insane.
Are you talking about me?
Yeah. You and your reality.
About me? What?
You and your reality.
My reality.
Hey, it's September 9th. I got a question for you.
Somebody recently told me that their drinking is because they cannot cope with reality.
Really recently? Or like 2 months ago?
Like a month or so ago, yeah.
Okay.
This was after the fact.
Yeah, that's idiotic.
Yeah.
So here's a pet peeve of mine. What month is this?
Month of Jesus' birthday.
It's oh yeah, that comes up in about what, 2 days?
Something like that. We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know, but the order of Satan seems to think so.
Yeah.
I wonder what pretty little gift they'll give Christ this year. How many bloody souls will they send to heaven?
Right.
Meanwhile, all the Christians run around oblivious to the possibilities if that's what's going on. Anyway. All right,
anyway.
So this is September, right?
Yeah.
And how many months in the year are there before September?
Eight.
Eight months. So this would be like the ninth month, right?
Supposedly.
All right. So... So there's September, October, November, December, all right? So, like, in numbering systems, you know, deci is what number?
Who did what?
Deci. You know, like a decameter or a decimeter. What's a decimeter?
Okay.
You don't know?
I do not know, Sam. I am.
Okay. All right.
I'm not the rocket scientist of the bunch. I'm just a dude cop.
Do you speak any Spanish?
No, habla español.
So like, what's novum?
What's what?
Novum.
I have no idea.
How about octo?
Octopus.
Okay, that's close. How many legs does an octopus have?
Nine.
You're toying with me, aren't you? All right.
Interesting.
So in Sept, Oct, Novum, Deci, that's 7, 8, 9, 10. All right? But we assign them to the 10th, to the 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th month. They're off by two.
Okay.
We call December, the deci in front of ember means 10th month. And September means 7th month if you translate it into English. And October means 8th month. But it's not the 8th month, it's the 10th month. And September is the 9th month, even though it says it's the 7th month. So what happened?
Me no habla.
Yeah, precisely. We got all these people wandering around. It's like, huh? Deci must mean 12, if that's the case. No, it doesn't mean 12. Means somebody messed with your calendar for whatever reason. And you don't really know.
We have no idea. Because we cannot habla español.
We have no idea because we don't care.
I don't care.
Oh, well.
I don't give a dang, darn diddly doo-dah. Do-da.
Yeah, I wonder if you can get arrested for singing that song now.
What song?
Campdown lady sings this song, do-da.
Why would you get... Oh, because it's racist.
Because it's racist. I don't know how it's racist, but... Yeah, they started chopping down all those statues. All right, they got no problem with putting up a statue of Lenin in public places around the United States. But, you know, you put up a war hero from the South, and you're racist. Even if you're a black man that has one of these statues up.
Well, yeah, I mean, there was this one black guy that was actually defending the Confederate flag at one point, and this white dude called him an oxymoron. Whenever they were trying to take down the Confederate flag and destroy the Confederate flag, or ban the Confederate flag or whatever, that was a couple of years ago.
18 divided by 9. I got it.
The white guy didn't know his history. He just knew what Uncle Sam told him history was.
Yeah.
It says so here in this book, so it must be true.
Yeah. Well, honestly, I'm doing the same thing.
I know.
I can only quote what's in the books because I wasn't there. My understanding is there's lots of black people who fought for the South. and they weren't, they didn't have chains on their feet forcing them to fight. Not that that would have worked if you put a musket in their hands. Yeah.
Musket. Right, we're going to give you a gun, but you're still going to have shackles. So you can't shoot me, so you can take away the key to the shackles.
Yeah, that makes
sense.
It
doesn't make any sense.
Somebody screwed in the brain.
Right. Screwed in the brain.
Yeah. So, yeah, when they started doing that, I went and downloaded from archives.org an open source, public domain audiobook of somebody reading Uncle Remus. And I'll have to do some research and see who exactly the author was. But, yeah. It's a bit more than stories about Br'er Rabbit. It actually goes into stories about Uncle Remus himself. And it's written like Uncle Remus might have actually existed. So I'm not sure about the history on that. I'd have to check it out. Anyway. I mean, he might be purely fictional, but then again, all right. Mystery caller didn't call in.
Mystery caller did not call.
So what burning subjects are on your mind, seeing as I pretty well controlled the whole podcast up till now? Not that I won't twist whatever subject you come up into with, you know, around to my thinking anyway.
Right, you contortist.
Yeah, contortionist. I am a mental contortionist.
Oh, it's the end of the world as we know it. We need a good apocalypse.
Oh, yes, 23rd. But I don't know anything about it. And, you know, I've been asking around, and nobody else knows anything about it. Dan, Joseph, give me a real apocalypse to work with so that I can, like, you know, take advantage of the aftermath.
Wasn't there supposed to be some sort of an apocalypse or something or other this month?
Yeah, September 23rd, but nobody else knows anything about it. What good is that? If nobody else knows anything about it, then nobody's going to be buying generators for it. And if nobody buys generators for it, how can I benefit from it September 24th?
When the world is still here.
When the world is still here after the apocalypse.
Apocalypse.
You know, we should make up some apocalypses just so that people get all hyped up over it and we can profit. But then
never let a good crisis go to waste. Like,
yeah, but we'd be doing the same thing as Uncle Sam. World order.
Yeah. New world order. Hip hurrah, hooray. New.
But if he can do it, why can't we?
Right. If you can rape, plunder, and pillage, why can't we?
Yeah. What's good for
plunder.
The goose is good for the gander, isn't it?
Plunder. Oh, I plunder, plunder. Oh.
All righty.
Okie dokie.
Number and the interested party is not calling in, so.
Be aware of your own self-deception habits.
I don't have any.
Littering is good for the environment.
Terrible. Okay.
Yeah, littering is good for the environment.
Go ahead and explain that one.
Well, if you're littering biodegradable material, then it's good for the environment. You should make sure that you litter biodegradable material where it looks desolate and lack of nutrient.
Yeah.
Like Texas.
Right. Throw your papers out in Texas. Just make sure your name's not written on any of them.
Wah, wah, wah. A wing go up, a wing go up, a wing go up, a wing go up.
Even other musical collections like it can be yours.
What?
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 Yeah, I'm being a nut.
What?
What?
What? La di da da da.
I think my brain is running out of energy.
Who did what?
I think my brain is running out of energy.
If I only had a brain.
What's that?
Speaking of energy, wintergreen. If you need energy, get some wintergreen essential oil.
Okay.
Well, I don't know if it'll give you energy, but it'll keep you awake. That's for dang sure.
Good to know. Is that how you're avoiding crashing on the road?
Well, I couldn't sleep a wink last night because I have my supply of aromatherapy basically next to my driver's seat, right? Well, I reached down and grabbed this bottle of oil and opened it and poured it on me. Well, I was thinking it had a dripper in it, and it did not.
And it was wintergreen.
I doused myself with wintergreen. I mean, I basically poured probably a quarter ounce of oil all over me. And I was like, oh, man. And it was just very overwhelming. But that night, when I finally pulled over to get some rest, there was no way I was sleeping because I just laid there, right? I'm just wide awake. And I was pretty much done for the day. I was out of hours, couldn't go anywhere, couldn't do nothing except lay there and toss and turn.
Well, you can refrain from the tossing and turning, but...
Well, yeah. So, I ended up getting up, taking a shower, and then I did an 8-hour split sleeper berth so that I could take off and drive. Drove for about an hour and went back. Then I was exhausted and I went to bed and slept for like 2 hours.
Right, so you had to wear off the wintergreen first.
Well, I had to be so thoroughly exhausted that I couldn't stay awake anymore. I was up for over 24 hours.
Oh, my God.
And so I slept for 2 hours and then got up, drove for another couple hours, stopped, slept for a couple hours, then got up, drove the rest of the day.
Yeah, that's a brilliant day.
Hopefully today, tonight, I'll actually be able to sleep. Hopefully.
Good luck with that.
Oh, let's see how many people signed up for off-grid singles.
Is that the site that I can't get to yet on my phone?
Yeah, because you suck. I can get to it on my phone. I don't know why you can't.
I guess because I suck.
Yeah, that's the only explanation. I don't even advertise this and people sign up. Nobody has signed up since...
Since the birth of Jesus.
No, since August 27th. But two people that signed up in February and March were online in the last few days. So it's active. David Ray hasn't been active since May.
That's not true. I tried to get on it before. In the last couple of months. That's why I know I still can't get on it.
I don't know why. I can get on it with my phone.
Okay. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe that's Trucker Day that I can't get on. I don't know. No, it's the off-grid or off-grid single.
Upgrade.
I can't get on that site. I can sort of get on it, but I can only see half the screen.
Your phone sucks. Maybe you should try the other phone.
That's right. Blame the phone.
Okay, it's you.
So that brings up something. Well, I'm looking at lead bolt or lead bolt, however you want to pronounce it. They do advertising for apps. You know, you have an app, and they'll put advertising on your app for you and send you money based on how much your app earns them money through advertising. So maybe we should develop an app for your various websites, because every other stupid website does. And, you know, personally, I won't install the apps, but apparently there's lots of idiots who will. So we might as well cash in.
Okay.
You know, so we're writing an app that does the same thing as the website, and that does a couple things for us. One, they now have our website on their phone, and they're probably using it on a regular basis as a result. And we get advertising dollars for them using the app.
Well, with my old website, my old TurkerDate.com website, I could build an app for that dateline through the software system that was built around that software that I was using for that dateline.
There you go.
That dateline software sucked because it kept crashing on me, and I lost a lot of my members.
Right.
So this new one's really good, but I don't know that I have capability of setting up an app. Now, it's got its own mobile app built in, but you can't go to, like, Google Play and download it.
So you got to provide a link on your website to it.
No, it just automatically works. When you go to it with the phone, it's got its own mobile deal built in.
Okay, so it's not actually an app.
Well, no, it's not an app. It's just it's a mobile website.
Which is pretty much what the date site should be doing in the first place, but since they don't and they get away with it and people, you know, download their stupid apps, well, you know, we might as well, you know, do the same.
Yeah, I'd have to pay somebody. I don't know how to create these apps.
I'll keep studying.
Okay. And I just don't have time. I don't have time to do what I'm already doing, let alone do that.
Yeah, to be honest, I don't have time to do the study for it at this time. But it is something I have been studying, is how to create apps for phones. And it doesn't really strike me as all that hard to do. I've created a few very simple apps, but I need to learn more about app creation before I can create something of reasonable use.
Reasonable use.
Well, nobody wants an app that only lists their own relatives for phones, and you have to write the program in order to have them listed. Nobody wants that. They want a program that you can enter them externally without writing a program. They want,
right.
You know, they want to do the data entry. They don't want to actually code the code to do the dialing. They want the program to handle that for them, which is reasonable. Okay? So,
right.
You know, I'm not saying they're stupid for not wanting to do that. I'm just saying they don't want to do that. And that's as far as my programming is gone. I could write a phone book program. But if I wrote the phone book program, it would be a program that had internally in it the listing of all the phone numbers I wanted to call. And if I wanted to enter more, I'd have to rewrite the program with that additional bit of information and recompile it. I don't know how to do data entry into an external file yet. Now, when I got more time to sit down and study, that's a priority that I would look at, is learning how to do that. So it's, you know, a matter of having a time. Right now, the big
right.
priority is moving water and building garden beds and watching my birdhouse gourd spread all over the place and trying to get the vines to go someplace where they're not burying the sweet potatoes. And,
yeah.
And getting the sweet potatoes to grow. And these are all very important things. So.
Very important.
So when I'm acting as chauffeur for Shirley and Lola, this upcoming week, and take advantage of that time to go over to their place to take a look at my share crop over there and make sure it's okay, which I'm sure it is, but because my friend Kano did such an excellent job of weeding that the weeds have just never really caught up with the sweet potato since.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You weeded it. And you did a good job, and the sweet potatoes have outgrown the weeds ever since you weeded it. So I go through there, and every once in a while I pull out something that's tall, but the rest of the stuff is like, who cares? The sweet potatoes are doing fine.
Yeah.
Talking of which, I got to do some research to see when I should be harvesting the sweet potatoes, because it has been getting cold at night. So.
Yeah, when I get to Kansas City, I need to check on those baby rainbow potatoes that I planted.
Yeah, I got a couple of those that sprouted here, but they never got big. So I don't think they're going to produce. Hopefully they produce, but I don't think they will. So those we should probably acquire early in the spring, and plant them first thing in the spring as soon as the ground will allow it.
Yep, like I did.
Did you?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like first thing in the spring, but it's pretty close.
You did a better job than I did. But, yeah.
I got but, started earlier than you did.
If you get...
I waited...
At all?
I bought... I bought them in the spring, but I was pampering them until they sprouted eyes. Then I put them in the dirt.
There you go. Which is sort of what I did, but I did it much later than you did. But yeah, we should. If either one of us get any production, we should save those up for next spring and get them out planted. You know.
Yeah. We'll grow some next year for sure.
I think they will be full-size potatoes. Because, you know, baby potatoes are basically the ones that they were rejected as big potatoes. I don't think it's a specific variety of potato. Go ahead.
I said, we'll find out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll find out. And I hope I'm right, because it'd be nice to grow some purple potatoes that grow around here. No.
Purple. What did I do wrong? I think it's this one. Dang.
All right. Should we call it a night?
I suppose.
Because I kind of lost my gift of gab. I did manage to monologue today, so it'll be interesting listening to the podcast to see how well I did that.
Go to DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com. But you can't do it with your phone.
I can't?
Well, you can go to DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com once I upload it. But I've got a link at DementedDungeonsAndDragons going to this new thing where the supposed to list all the recordings. Well, it doesn't work mobile. It defaults you somewhere else, and it's a real pain in the butt. And I'm hoping that maybe they'll update in the future to where it'll work. If enough people complain, I need to go complain myself. But it doesn't work. So I'm going to continue uploading everything to Demented Dungeons & Dragons. Also, I need to renew that server because I've done the math. And basically, we're already at the point of paying. If I upload all of our archives to the new place,
right?
We're already at the point of paying for their services. So, if we bump to the next level, it's pretty much going to cost us about the same as what I'm paying now or more. So I'm just going to keep where we're at or let it go and just only let people listen to the last 1 gig worth of data. You know, they won't be able to listen to any of our archives past 1 gig. Once we hit 1 gig, I go back and delete the oldest podcast.
Okay, so people can prove that they're listening by suddenly going down and downloading all of our oldest podcasts. And we'd see all this strange activity going on. And then we'd know, okay, we actually have listeners.
Well, one of these days, Alice, I'll get around to turning them into vlogs and putting them on YouTube. There are a couple of our original podcasts on YouTube as vlogs. But there's only a couple or a few, not very many.
Right. You have to come up with some interesting video to overlay our voice on.
Coop.com. Yeah, I just did pictures of our sponsors.
Okay.
Pictures of our sponsors.
Like KCLA Management?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're good folk. We should have them advertise.
Where is stupid crap?
Where's the stupid crap?
Oh, stupid crap. Oh, stupid. YouTube keeps changing things, and now I can't figure out how to get to my, well, I guess I can do it this way, my YouTube channel, because there's no link for it. Kano Trump. YouTube.com/KanoTrump. All right. I think I made a demented, yeah, here it is, a DD&D playlist. Oh, that's just a DD&D playlist. Okay, I only got 3 DD&D podcasts up on YouTube so far.
Okie dokie.
But you can watch/listen to them on YouTube at on Kano Trump's profile. Just basically type in DD&D podcast on YouTube, and you should bring it up.
Yay.
DD and symbol D POD cast. There's a D&D podcast that comes up number one. Whole bunch of D&D stuff, but not the DD&D.
No, we got the extra D.
Yeah, none of our stuff comes up.
Good work. Demented dumb goat. They can't conform with everybody else.
Oh, there it is. Okay. It says, do you mean D&D? And I said, no, I mean DD&D. Then it brings it up.
Who tries to correct you?
That's what Google does.
Yeah, I have to admit, Google's pretty good at that.
Oh, wait a minute. There's another DD&D podcast.
Really?
Yeah. It's called Dumb Dumbs and Dragons.
Dumb Dumbs and Dragons?
That's funny.
Now you've been taking after jazz too much.
They've got 7 episodes so far that I can see.
They stole our symbol. Watch it be Randy. Randy Bond.
Bond. Randy Bond. All right, I'm going to have to check these guys out.
And you'll probably find out it's Randy. He's been listening faithfully to our podcast and discussing how stupid we are.
Dumb Dumbs and Dragons. Oh, no, they got up to 13 podcast episodes so far. 14 episodes. 15. 15 is the highest I can see.
Sealy are trademark initials.
So their stuff is under Garage Productions. They only have 12 subscribers. I'm the 13th.
So how many more subscribers do they have than we do?
Oh, we have a lot more. I have a lot more.
I hear background noise. Are you listening to their podcast and that's what I'm hearing?
Hang on.
I'm hanging off for dear life.
Okay, so they're actually based on Dungeons and Dragons.
Sure. What are you, a dumb
dumb? They're basically, yeah, they're basically, I don't know if they're videotaping it or if they're just recording audio-wise, but they're basically recording people playing Dungeons and Dragons for the first time, so they're dumb dumb.
Oh my God, that's probably going to be the most boring podcast on the planet.
Dumb Dumbs and Dragons.
And only D&D players would only D&D players would be interested in listening to it.
Yeah. And supposedly they've got comedians in the background doing comic.
Well, okay, that sort of makes sense.
That makes up for the boring crap. Alright, well, we got boring crap too, because we're boring. Nobody loves us.
Because I'm tired, and I ran out of steam. I'm so sorry.
So they got 16 episodes for Dumb Dumbs and Dragons, but the first one is an intro, so technically they only have 15. And their other podcast that they do is called Garbage Town. But they probably don't have any viewers because they only have 13 subscribers, and I'm one of them. Their intro for Dumb Dumbs and Dragons only has 14 views, and that came out 3 months ago. Let's see how many mine has.
Well, I'll have to subscribe to them, too, and that'll up their membership list.
I don't know how to get back to my freaking channel. Because YouTube screwed it up. / Kano Trump. That's how I get back to my channel. I have, I don't know how many subscribers I have. I have 234 subscribers. Not that many. DD&D Podcast. Oh, we have less views than they do. We have half the views that they do. But maybe that's because it just says DD&D podcast episode, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't say Demented Dungeons and Dragons, so I need to go edit that. Maybe we'll get some more views. Theirs is definitely a lot more professional than ours.
Woohoo.
So maybe we can rape theirs and learn something.
Well, they're sitting in front of a regular camera with a cool background, a cartoon background, and they're sitting on their little stools, their bar stools, talking to a camera. I mean, it's nothing really exciting.
So we'd need to do Skype to pull that off here.
Pretty much.
We can pretend we have a cartoon background behind us and we're sitting on stools.
I just put ads in the background. I just put ads in the background, our sponsors or, you know, whatever. So it's not like... Here's one we need to emulate. What the Fuck Podcast. That's one that we need to copycat.
There we go. What the Fuck Podcast. I might actually be interested in listening to that.
Demented. Dungeons and Dragons. All right. So, that concludes the DD&D Podcast. DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com. You have to go on YouTube and or go to our website, DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com, and listen to our stupidity.
Yes. Yes, please, please listen to our stupidity. We want to form the new idiocracy.
We want to start a new world order.
Yeah, because the new world order as it stands is pretty old.
Right? And pretty crappy at that.
Yeah.
Edit video. YouTube changed a lot.
So did Facebook. I tried navigating Facebook once to find somebody or something, and it was like, are you kidding me? I can't just click on their face anymore to see who they are or talk to them or whatever. Like, forget it. It was too much.
Forget about it. Forget about it. Copy. Forget about it. Saved. Did I create a Demented Dungeons and Dragons podcast file? Yes, I did. Okay, cool.
Hello.
We have a Demented Dungeons and Dragons playlist.
Woohoo! And you just missed two podcasts, right?
Three. So I get done updating. Yeah. So I get done updating it.
Alrighty.
Update. Demented. DungeonsAndDragons.com.
Oh, there's the problem. 10 o'clock in my time zone. That's why I'm tired.
You're retarded?
Yeah, that too. All right. You want to play the disclaimer before we hang up on this? Because we...
Oh, yeah. That's also on the vlog. But I will play our disclaimers.
Disclaimers.
After people notice asterisk. This podcast is for educational and / or entertainment purposes only.
Okay, that sucks. Start it over. And make it louder.
And it's not admissible in court. Our first
and make it stop skipping words.
Always go and do your own homework. We are not necessarily encouraging you to overthrow any terroristic, tyrannical de facto governments, medical establishments, fast food franchises, any religious or non-religious 501c3s or anything of that matter. We do encourage you not to feed the beast. We do encourage you to love your neighbor, your community, and your homeland. We do encourage you to do what is right, when it is right, because it is right. We do encourage you to protect your de jure government, your sovereignty, your freedom, and your liberty, and those same freedoms and liberties for your neighbor, your community, your people, and your homeland. The Lord gave you free will. Please use it wisely. Pray it forward. Pray for others as you would like them to pray for you. Love others as you would want them to love you. Please read 1 Corinthians 13. We practice God's medicine, not man's medicine. Any nutritional statements heard on this podcast is just our research and / or experience. Most of them may not be accepted by the FDA. Under the New World Order rules, regulations, standards, codes, and guidelines, we are not allowed to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any diseases. But we cannot cure you, nor can your doctor. Only you can heal yourself. Disease is a result of a nutritional deficient environment. Feed your body right, and your body will cure itself. Man and / or other animals. We are not man animals. This podcast is not made for animals. This podcast is only for certain humans made in God's image, endowed by God with certain inalienable rights. If you are an animal, this podcast isn't necessarily for you. Please tell your human about us.
Yeah. Do what's right when it's right, because it's right, even if your God dictates otherwise.
That's true, too.
Did you hear that okay?
No, I was yelling at you, telling you to start it over, play it louder, and make it stop skipping words.
Oh. I can't play it louder. Ever since I reformatted, my computer is not as loud as it was. I've got Bose speakers in my computer, and it's not very loud anymore. It used to be really loud.
Yeah, it was pretty faint, and it was skipping words at the beginning. But I think it stopped skipping. So, listeners, just turn up the volume and you'll hear a disclaimer clearly. Sort of like small print.
Just go to the website.
And it's sort of like small print. You can't see it very well, but it's there. Well, okay, on this podcast, you can't hear it very well, but it's there. So if you really want to hear it, turn it up.
Yeah.
Break out your magnifiers.
Yeah, I'll make sure it's on the podcast again, uploaded as a separate file.
Cool.
It's just about everywhere on the podcast. It's on every page. I don't know what the hell is wrong with this thing. It's not very loud. I have to go with my business partner. He's my IT guy. He's the one who reformatted it, and now it's not as good as it once was.
Oh, well.
But it works. It crashed. It wouldn't do anything. So at least it's working.
Yeah, so soft sound is better than no sound.
True that. I'm not complaining too much. And there was something else, too, that just came up. I ran across this girl that, because I was talking, the disclaimer's talking about, we cannot cure you, nor can your doctor. Only you can prevent forest fires. Only you can cure yourself. Be your own doctor.
Right.
I ran across this girl on a Dateline. She said that her ex basically had an affair, cheated on her, and ended up giving her AIDS or HIV.
Right.
And blah, blah, blah.
Giving the virus.
giving her the virus, and she was like, you know, distraught, but she was on there looking for people who will accept her. And I basically told her in so many words that it's curable. I don't have the cure, and I can't cure you, otherwise the New World Order will come and kill me. But go out there and do your homework. Huh?
She could go mega dose on vitamin C.
Vitamin C.
Yeah, it won't hurt her. And, you know, who knows? She might get healthier.
Well, yeah, it is an immune deficiency disorder. But, so yeah, naturally, do things that boost your immune system and the disorder will be null and void. But, she thanked me for my kind words, but she wasn't going to give up her medication.
She doesn't have to give up her medication, but she should still do the vitamin C.
Yeah. So I sent her a YouTube link to a guy who, an African from Africa, who cured a whole bunch of people of AIDS and a bunch of other diseases. And
you mean assisted them in their own curing of themselves?
Basically. And okay. When his testimony was that when he called and told his mother that he cured people of AIDS and this, that, and whatever, she said, oh, you better be careful. They're going to get you. They're going to get you. They're going to come for you, and they're going to get you. And she was right. They came for him.
Yep.
But he was prepared. I don't know. I didn't have time to do much homework on his history. But he's still alive and kicking and talking. You know, he's got his testimony on YouTube. So go check it out. The guy who cured AIDS.
Well, it's an easy enough thing to cure. It's a non-existent disease.
Pretty much.
And her medication, AZT, when they were giving out AZT, the symptoms of AZT poisoning were identical to the AIDS symptoms.
So basically it could just be AZT.
Yeah, it's just AZT. And, you know, whatever drug cocktail they're giving you, because there's going to be side effects, and, you know, they'll just say, oh, yeah, well, that's the AIDS. And they won't say it's the drugs that's doing it. It's the drugs that's doing it. You know, the people here in the United States who survived the longest with AIDS were the ones who ignored the AIDS and treated the pneumonia, the flu, the gout, and all those other conditions that they were suffering. They took care of those. And then and they, instead of only living 5 years on AZT, they lived 2 more decades. A lot of them are still kicking. They were, you know, they were from back when AIDS was first announced. So, I mean, if it killed everybody else in 5 years, how come they're still around?
Right. So it's the pharmaceutical that killed them.
Yeah.
Right. Sure, you can trust your doctor. They kill more people than war.
Number one killer.
Number one killer.
Statistic you go by. They're either number three or they're number one.
Well, they're in the top five.
They're definitely in the top five.
There you go.
They're in the upper right of the top five.
If you want to die, you're top five chances of dying is 1, go to war, 2, go to the doctor. What's the third one?
I don't know what the third one was. We'll have to look at the... I know war is up there. Seeing your doctor, going to war.
Joining a gang, well, that would be the same thing as a war.
And being a father, those are probably the top three.
Being a father?
Farmer.
A farmer. How's being a farmer top three?
Well, it's more dangerous than being a cop.
Well, this is true.
Oh, wait a minute. Victim of cop shooting. Probably up there.
Oh, yeah, right? I know truck drivers have a really dangerous job, but, you know, I don't know. That's what they say. I haven't really experienced it. Okay, let's see. Top five ways to ways people die. Here we go. Top 10 causes of death. La di da, la di da. That's weird. It doesn't say anything.
Right.
Here we go. I think this is it. Okay, top 10 causes of death worldwide. Of the 56.4 million deaths worldwide in 2015, more than half were due to the top 10 causes.
Okay.
Heart disease and stroke.
Nope. There's something wrong with their statistics. Is that number? Is that number 10, or is it number 1?
54%. Oh, yeah, that was number 1. It's the biggest, they said.
Right. So they left off the bigger ones. Iatrogenic disease is much higher than that.
Wait. Here's the reason why the information is skewed. I'm on the UN's website.
Me?
World Health Organization. Okay, go away.
Yep.
We don't want to hear what the New World Order has to say about it. Okay. I mean the Old World Order. Oh, this is somebody else commenting on what the Old World Order has to say. And they're in compliance. Let's see here, MarketWatch. Well, hell, you'll have to do some homework on that one. We'll have to do some homework on that one. There's a lot of stuff here. What do people die of? How do we die?
Number one cause of death.
Misuse of prescription. Misdiagnosed prescription drugs, that's the number one cause of death.
That's iatrogenic disease. And that's only part of...
Yeah, that was actually on the New World Order's website, iatrogenic, something like that. I think it was. I have to go back and look.
But for them to say that anything was higher than that, medically, is immediately a falsehood, because it is the top medical reason why people die. And you know automatically that your person quoting the statistics is lying to you if they list anything else.
Yeah, this one says cancer is number one killer. Doesn't say anything about...
But what's that caused by?
Yeah.
That's caused by malnutrition.
Yep.
In form of bad information. You know, bad advice as to what to eat. You know? Eat this Roundup laden corn.
And bread.
And, you know, even though it's GMO, it ain't going to hurt you.
GMO is good for you.
Yeah, and if you believe that, I got a bridge to sell you. Which coast you want to purchase it on?
If you believe that, I got a GMO Roundup Ready corn cob to sell you. So you can
there
stick
you
it up your butt. Okay. Five tragic ways people died trying to save their phones.
Oh, my God.
That could be a tragic... I mean, that could be one of the reasons people die. Your phone is not worth dying for. Man dies after going back into a burning house to get his phone.
Right.
Game over.
Well, you know, for some people, their phone is loves them more than anybody else.
One guy killed his brother, or girl killed her brother. Says brother killed over flapping bird score. A man killed by a train after jumping onto the tracks to get his mobile phone. Man executed on the subway tracks after trying to save his smartphone.
Well,
man and woman died. Man and woman died after falling into the river trying to save smartphone. So, yeah, basically...
Well, that's because cell phones are an important emotional contact to this world.
Oh, yeah, when What's-Her-Face dropped her phone in the water that one night, she had an emotional breakdown and took it out on me because she couldn't sext that other guy behind my back.
Sounds good.
I didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah, you did.
I didn't run out and get her another phone right away.
Did you?
I did not. That's what I did wrong.
Yeah, the other guy goes and gets your phones right away, doesn't he?
No. He treated her more crappy Well, I didn't really treat her crappy. He treated her probably more crappy than she probably treated me. Then again, I don't know. I don't know how he treated her, because all I got is hearsay evidence.
All you know is what she said.
Right. And what she said could have been a bunch of crap. Because she treated
said
me
stuff
like
about
crap.
You that was a bunch of crap.
Well, not as much as the one before her did. But, yeah. And, well, okay, yeah, you might, yeah, okay. Right, she was going to porn sites on her phone, but she was accusing me of going to porn sites on my computer and talking about me being a low-down, dirty, you know, scum of the earth, talking to whores on my computer when I couldn't even hardly ever go to my computer because I was afraid that she would accuse me of doing that. So I neglected my business. I neglected my emails. I neglected everything because if I didn't, I got accused of doing low-down dirty stuff. I couldn't even go delete my Dateline profiles because I had to get on the computer to do it. Oh, God. And then her phone started I got her phone right here. It's not working right now. But it'll work again here soon. But I started documenting it and backing things up onto the SD card. But she was going to porn sites. She was going to sex sites, like not Adult Friend Finder, but she was going to, it's called Well Hello. And it's a sex site. She was going there talking to people while she was with me.
Right. Nice.
Right. And I'm the low-down, dirty, whatever, going on the computer and talking to whores when I wasn't.
You are.
Well, I am now. Oh, wait. No, I was because I was talking to her. I mean, you know, it's okay, I guess, if you're single, but when you're in a relationship with somebody, it's not okay unless you've got their approval or their permission. Same thing.
Like, honey, let's do this. What?
What? I mean, you know, one of the porn sites she was going to was Pornhub, and she was watching anal videos.
Gross. You know?
Right? Which I didn't even know she was into that. And then she was accusing me of being buddies with you. I was like, wait a minute. And now I find out that she's actually into all that, but she was accusing me of being the one who was into that.
You just try it and see how quickly my fist smashes your nose.
I'm not even interested.
Good, because I will smash your nose.
That's just disgusting.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't even done it with a woman.
Yeah,
why would I even want to do? I don't know. I might try it with a woman if she wants me to, but you know, it's like she was into that. If she was into that, she should have said something, but she never said anything to me about it. I've never done it. I'm not sure I want to either, but I've never done it. But anyways. Yeah.
I would think it would be a bit painful.
Yeah, I think so, too. But, you know, some people like that, I guess.
I think it would be a bit painful on both ends.
I don't know. It depends on how much lube you use, I guess. I don't know. Never done it. So I can't say.
Yeah, I just So much for us saying the end of the podcast. This has actually gotten the podcast going further.
Yeah.
We're talking about.
Yeah, we got off on that tangent talking about five ways people die saving their cell phone. Yeah. I'm surprised she didn't electrocute herself trying to save herself. ways people die, that's what we were talking about. I don't know.
We're trying to figure out what's the cause, major cause of death.
And not what the New World Order wants you to think it is.
No, it's actual real studies showing that doctors are the major killers of people.
Yep.
In other words, you're really not doing much better than the people who went to see witch doctors.
Right? So there you go. Two of the best ways to go kill yourself is to see a doctor or go to war for Uncle Sam.
Well, for anybody. It doesn't have to be Uncle Sam.
True.
Any dictatorial entity will do.
Right. Gang members, Uncle Sam. Al Qaeda, or what's the new one, ISIS, which they're pretty much made up. They're all CIA operations.
Well, duh.
Duh. Oh no, they're real. There could be no conspiracy.
No, the newspapers would report on it if there was.
Who owns the newspapers?
The people, right? Do you own one? You're the people. Do you own one? Okay, so the people are not the ones who own newspapers.
Well, yeah, you got to go to the people that do own newspapers. Small fries like us.
Well, yeah, and then small fries like us are not allowed to go into events to report on them.
Oh, no.
Because they don't know what to say, so they won't let us.
Well, right. The other people are told what to say. And so that's how they know what they'll say. Because they told them what to say.
Here's your news copy. Go print it. Well, thank you. It saved me lots of time.
Yeah.
I don't have to hire writers and such to write my stories anymore because you pre-prepared it for me.
Right. At the taxpayer's expense.
Stop talking.
We are paying them to brainwash us.
Stop talking that conspiracy crap. You're giving people ideas.
We're paying them to make laws against us.
Of course.
They use our money to campaign against us. Quit feeding the beast. Quit giving them your money. Actually, it's their money because you're using Uncle Sam's money. So go make your own money. Quit subscribing to the biggest counterfeiter in the world.
Oh, shoot. It's printed overseas in the first place. Why do people wonder how it is that they're making counterfeit dollar bills overseas as quickly as they come up with new bills? It's because they're printed overseas in the first place.
Right.
The first two runs are probably to distribute as if it was counterfeit. I don't know that to be a fact, but it's pretty good speculation.
Pretty good speculation. So there you go. Counterfeiters. Start trading in gold and silver.
It's a little hard to counterfeit gold and silver. And you can shave a little bit off the edge. You can wrap another metal in a gold foil, you know. But these are all things that can be easily detected by anybody who uses gold and silver on a regular basis. So, you know, fix your world. Use gold and silver. Save the world. Grow a garden.
There you go. And even if you do use their fake money, go black. Black money. Use their money against them.
Use the black market, you're saying?
Black money.
Please explain.
Well, I don't know all the details, but what was it, India?
Oh, yeah.
They tried to get rid of certain size notes because they wanted to flush out or destroy the black money.
The black market.
Yeah,
they wanted to end the black market, you know, because basically a bunch of people were using the money and not reporting what they were selling and what they were buying, and they were just spending cash, and they saved up all this money. And so India wanted to put an end to the savings and wanted to put an end to the black market. And so they pulled a bunch of bills off the market, trying to force people to go into their electronic currency. Well, the people the people went into an electronic currency just like they wanted, but it was the wrong electronic currency.
Right. They didn't go into their electronic currency. They went into a different electronic currency. Not one that they controlled.
Yeah, they went into
Bitcoin.
Bitcoin.
Which is hilarious. We're not big fans of Bitcoin, but we're also not big fans of government digital currency either.
Oh, definitely not. That government digital currency would be worse than Bitcoin.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Well, that's what they want. That's what the conspirators want. They want us to use their digital currency. They want to control everything.
Yep. The original Bitcoin is called gold and silver. God made it.
And God made it.
And yes, it's true. Mankind has figured out how to hack gold and silver. But the methods used for hacking it are detectable. It's like, this silver seems to be adulterated with some other metal. Oh, this gold coin, it doesn't weigh quite right. Let me scratch it. Oh, there's some lead underneath. It's like, okay, you know. So those are all, you know, but because people don't use gold and silver now, those methods will come out of the woodwork very quickly when people go back to using gold and silver. But they will also very quickly be figured out and you know.
Dealt with.
You know, yeah. The guy who tries it will have a bullet in his head.
True that. Especially, yeah, I mean, some stranger who is obviously, you know, not right in the head. You know, if it's some poor bloke who probably, you know, who's a local in your town who's known for being innocent, was probably swindled by somebody else, and so you cut them some slack. But somebody else comes along, you know they're known for misconduct, and they try it, and you're like, I don't think so, buddy.
Yeah, I'm going to hold on to you, and if I don't trust the local constable to handle you properly, I'll just, you know, shoot you and shut up.
Off with their heads. Well, that'll get rid of some of the misconduct pretty quick, too. So, yeah. I don't know what the solution is. I know I don't exactly have it, but I know the New World Order don't either.
Yeah.
Okay, so, are we done?
Probably.
All right, so that concludes the DD&D podcast, Demented Dungeons and Dragons.com. Now limited to PK, Red Towers, and Dungeons and Dragons. We don't really talk about Dungeons and Dragons, but it's fun to pretend to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's it. Call in, call in, call in! We want to hear from you. We want to talk about things. We want to talk about things. So call in and give us a subject to talk about. So we don't talk about the same old crap all the time, like flat earth and how the Bible says the earth is flat.
Oh, yeah, we did talk about that tonight, didn't we?
Okay, we'll talk to you later.
Thanks. Of myself.
Yeah, Terry will be so happy with us. We gave tribute to his flat earth theory. We give tribute to your flat earth bullcrap. Jesus said it was, Jesus did not say it was flat. Jesus quoted from the book that says that it's flat.
Yeah, so apparently that book said something good, but not necessarily the whole damn thing.
Right. Like the Bible. Okay, on that note, we'll talk to you later.
Yes, drop a bombshell and then hang up. Good night.
So long, farewell. Auf Wiedersehen, goodbye.
Damn Nazis denying the Bible.
The Bible and the Quran and the Book of Mormon. Okay, bye.
Good night.